Thank you. Man, can you guys give it up for your pastors, Pastor Lynn and Renee? We love them so much. Best people on the planet. And we're just so excited to be here with all of you today. This is home for us. We feel like family here. Like Pastor Renee said, I think I've been coming here for 8 years. I've known Christy, I don't know where she is, Pastor Christy, for over 10 years. We went to BSSM together, and it just feels like family here. So I love you all. Give a round of applause for yourselves today. You guys are amazing. Do you have anything you want to say?
Oh, it's just the easiest yes to be here. You guys, I know you know this, but you're so blessed to be in a house that just welcomes the Lord as He is, right? Not bringing a box where we're like, Lord, just come the way we want you to. But this house truly honors and fears the Lord. And it's such a privilege to be here and just to get to hug and meet all of you wonderful people. These are our kids. This is a little old picture. So you'll see Cruz, our son, that's on my lap. He has short hair now, so you'd barely recognize him. He doesn't have the cool surfer curls. And then we have Mercy, our daughter, who Jonah is holding, and she's 2 years old now. She's ginormous and wonderful. And so thank you guys for loving on our family and welcoming us here.
So good. We love you guys. Thanks, babe. Didn't she crush it today in worship? Just love her. She's so anointed. Man, I'm just going to start and just be right at home. Can I be right at home today? And maybe you've never heard me before, but we're family. This is family here. And I want to start off and just say I got rocked today in pre-service prayer. And this is such a powerful church. Whew. It's okay. I'm probably just going to cry from the jump. But man, I just got rocked today. And I believe that the Lord is going to move in power in this place today. And I don't know if this is maybe your first time, or maybe you've been coming here for years and years and years, but how many know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? He's the same. He doesn't change. We change, but Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He's doing amazing things in the earth. And this is not a time to shy away. This is not a time to hang our head in fear. It's actually a time to, what Isaiah 60 says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Do you know that the glory of the Lord has risen upon you? Do you know that you don't have a little light, but you've got a great big light in you named King Jesus? Come on, we used to sing that song all the time as kids. Maybe in Sunday school, we would sing, "This little light of mine, I gotta let it shine." I don't think Jesus is a little light. I understand that song, but I don't think Jesus is a little light. He is a great big light. He's a great big light that the world needs to see. And Jesus is doing amazing things all over the earth. And my wife, Alexis, and I have had the privilege of pastoring at Gateway Church in Dallas, which has been so much fun. And if you guys are familiar with Pastor Robert, we honor and we love Pastor Robert Morris and Gateway Church. And we've been pastoring their student ministry. And it's been such a privilege. We brought 1,300 students to camp this year. It was incredible. It was the largest camp that they've ever had at Gateway. And we saw Jesus do some incredible miracles. Can I share a miracle with you before we get in and just encourage you and spark your faith? But there was the last day of camp, last day of senior high camp, we had 820 senior high students there. And we're in worship, and we started singing this song. It's like that Brandon Lake song, you would know it, honey. I've seen cancer disappear. You're too good to not believe. Anybody know that song, Too Good to Not Believe? And we're singing this song, and I'm like, okay, this song is too good not to pray for the sick right now. Anybody with me? How many know that Jesus still heals? Do we still believe that? And so the night before, there was a student who got healed. He couldn't lift up his arm all the way. He had a shoulder injury. And he got completely healed during worship. The Lord touched him and healed him during worship. And I brought this student on stage this last day. And he shares his story about how he couldn't lift up his arm and Jesus healed his arm. And I was like, okay, we're going to pray for the sick again. Who wants to pray for the sick? And all these students are like, let's go, you know. And we pray, and about 50 kids get instantly healed there at the altar. And one of those kids, I come down from the platform. One of those, these, it's a girl. I think her name was, it's Denise. And she lifts up her pant leg and she's like, Pastor Jonah, you got to see this. I got shot in my calf. She has a bullet scar, like right on the center of her calf from getting shot. And I didn't ask her how this happened. I'm like, you're a 16-year-old girl and you have a bullet wound? This is crazy. But she got shot in her leg. And she said, during the prayer, all of the pain left my leg. I haven't been able to jump. And she starts jumping. And she says, and get this, I can't feel the bullet that's been in my leg. I actually can't feel it in my calf. Come on, somebody. Jesus still heals. He still does miracles. And I believe today that he is going to do miracles in this place. Do you believe that? All right, so here's what I want you to do. Even before I continue to speak, I want you just to lay your hand on the person next to you. If you want, just gently place a hand on the person next to you. And I want you just to bless them. Just bless them. Pray for them like you would want someone to pray for you in this moment. I believe that God is going to do miracles in this place. That he is going to touch bodies right now even, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, all over this room, for doing what only you could do. Doing what only you can do, Lord. I thank you that your word says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, which means what you've done for one, you will surely do for another. I thank you right now, Father, in this room. We don't even have to wait to the end of service. I thank you for bones being healed. I thank you for heads, I think there's people here who struggle with migraines. The Lord's healing you of that right now in this moment. Lord, I thank you for allergies being healed. Thank you, Jesus, all over this place. Do what only you can do. All right, now I want you just to begin to thank the Lord in your own words all across this place. Can we just fix our eyes on Jesus? Let's just fix our eyes on Jesus. Father, I thank you today that we woke up to new mercies. We woke up to loving kindness that never ceases and never ends. And Father, I thank you today that there is no one like Jesus. There is no one like Jesus. And Father, I just pray today that you would catch us up in a revelation of who Jesus is. That we would fall more in love with you, Lord. We're not here to play church. We're not here just for another good talk. We're not here for me. We're here for you. We're not here to hear another speaker, Lord. We're here for you. And Lord, I pray that you would be glorified today, King Jesus. That you would bless your word. That you would anoint your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is the final authority. God, we thank you for the scriptures and what your word has to say to us today. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would speak. And Father, whatever you want to say today, whatever you want to do today, I pray that you would do in this place. And I thank you for revival in the valley. I thank you for a move of God in this region, Lord. I pray it would spring forth from this place in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Come on, can we give it up for Jared being on the keys? Love you so much, man. And worship was incredible today. Wasn't that so powerful? Can we give it up for the worship team again? So good. Man, I'm excited today. I really feel like the Lord's given me a word today for this church. And a word today, I don't think just for this church, but for the body of Christ at large. I really do believe he's put a word on my heart. And I feel a little bit sober and pretty tender today, especially after that pre-service prayer. So just bear with me. And we're going to see where the Lord takes us today. But I was praying last night about today. And I've been praying for weeks just thinking about this service and what God wants to do here today. And last night, I saw about Iran shooting missiles towards Israel. Did anybody see that or see that news? And I found myself last night, I was in the Hardy's living room just praying for the peace of Jerusalem, praying for the peace of Israel. And I think we ought to do that today, but it also just, it put this thing inside of me of, I know that people who are looking at what's happening in the world today are carrying fear. And I can feel it even when I came up here. I feel like there's people here today that you're coming to church and you are desperate for hope. You are desperate for God to even shake off the fear that you've been carrying. And I just want to say this from the jump. If you're getting your eschatology, which is your end times theology, from some stranger on TikTok, you better get off of TikTok and get in this word. And for the people in here who are like, what's TikTok? Okay, maybe you just listen to Facebook or YouTube or the news. But I'm telling you, if all you're consuming is content from social media, if all you're doing is looking at the news, no wonder you're carrying fear today. No wonder you're carrying worry today, because the world has something to say. But how many know that our King Jesus has something to say? And last time I checked, Isaiah chapter 6, it says this. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died. That means there was a transition. King Uzziah was an incredible king in Israel. And it says, the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah says this, I saw the Lord high, oh, there it is, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Do you guys know what that means? It's not just like Jesus with a pretty robe on. It's not like he looks like Superman with a cape, you know? He's like, look at my train filling the temple. That's not what that is. He doesn't have a pretty robe. He doesn't have a pretty cape. The train of his robe stands for, it keeps filling the temple, all of the battles he's won. So the history, the context of this is, whenever a king would win a battle, they would cut a piece off of the king's robe that they defeated and stitch it on the back of their robe. So what this is saying in Isaiah chapter 6 is, this is our King of Glory who wins every battle, who has every victory over every king and every kingdom. And so I'm telling you today, if you're a child of God, you have nothing to fear, because we know the end of the story. I know the end of the story. I know that Jesus wins in the end. I know that he reigns on his throne, and if he's on his throne, we're in good hands. Can I get an amen this morning? And so I'm just going to say it right now in the beginning. Bye-bye fear in your life today. If you came in to church today with fear, you came into a good place, because perfect love casts out all fear. You have nothing to be afraid of. His love is towards you. His love never fails. Lamentations 3:23, we were just quoting it as we were praying. The steadfast love of the Lord never ends. It never ceases. His love is towards you today. Turn to your neighbor and say, his love is towards you. Turn to your other neighbor and say, I know the end of the story. We win in the end. We win in the end. But I know this too. I wanted to address this in the beginning, but I know this as well, that during times like this, and I think the past 4 years have been some of the hardest years in America and all over the world. It was the first time, if maybe I'll recap it, and then we'll pray for trauma to come off of you after service. But in 2020, we went through a global pandemic. Y'all remember that? Some of you from California moved to Idaho, okay? You got set free from a, never mind there, okay? You got delivered. You moved to a free state. Idaho. We got guns in Idaho. We're in Texas. I know what that feels like. We're originally from Washington, and now we're in Texas. And I'm like, it feels a little bit different in Texas than the Pacific Northwest. But during times like this, where we see wars, rumors of wars, and I'm not here to do an end times talk to you today. That's not why I'm here. Pastor Rich probably could do that a lot better than me. Give it up for Pastor Rich. But I'm not here to give you an end time talk, but it's pretty easy to look at the times that we're in and to wonder if Jesus is going to come back. And it's okay to talk about it because the Bible says that he is going to come back. And, you know, we were in Dallas, and we just had the solar eclipse, the total eclipse. How many know that? Has anybody ever seen a solar eclipse before? A total eclipse? It was one of the craziest things ever. And it was during Mercy's birthday, and we're all outside eating cake or a strawberry shortcake, and we're looking up. And I literally, you guys, I was like, Jesus is coming back. The sky grew dark. You see like the ring around the sun. I'm like, the skies are about to split. I'm like, take me home, Lord, you know. Obviously, that did not happen. Jesus did not come back. And the prophets are still prophesying. They're like, well, he might come back tomorrow. Well, we'll see. We don't know the day or the hour. But what I do sense in my spirit for the church, for the time that we are in, and I believe this prophetically, but I just see this throughout scripture, history, that in the time of great disturbance in America and in the world, we are set up for the greatest harvest. So in a time where things get dark, the Bible is so clear, scripture is so clear, that God's light actually shines the brightest, and darkness can't even comprehend God's light. It can't even comprehend it. And the Bible even says this, that where sin abounds, God's grace abounds all the more. So that when things actually get worse, God's grace starts growing bigger. And he's like, oh man. We got a lot more light, a lot more glory, a lot more grace to pour out on the world. And I believe this, that we are set up for the greatest move of God in history. We're set up for the greatest revival in history. And this is the message I'm going to preach to you today. We're going to look at it in Mark chapter 10. It is not time to shy back in your faith. Today is not the hour. This is not the time to grow tame in your faith with Jesus. Do you remember the first time Jesus saved you? Yeah, she's like, oh yeah, I do. Do you remember how wild you were when you got first love and you realized that you were forgiven of all of your sin? When you got demons cast out of you, when you got set free and your marriage got healed, do you remember how you used to jump and dance at the altar? Do you remember? Do you remember that feeling of what it was like to have first love? God is asking you today, where has your first love gone? Jesus says, the one thing I have against the church of Laodicea, I believe it was Laodicea, is this, that you have forsaken your first love. And Jesus says, therefore, go back and do the things you did at first. Some of us in this room need to go back and do the things we did at first. Some of us in this room need to shake off despair and dance again. Some of us in this room need to shake off the mistake of yesterday and realize that you're forgiven, you're a saint, and you're righteous today by the blood of Jesus. We've become short-sighted and blind, Peter says, because we have forgotten that we're forgiven. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. But we forget this so easily. And so I want to jump into Mark chapter 10, verse 46. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Mark 10. Verse 46, I'm reading out of the NASB translation, which I believe is God's translation. You can take me up on that, but I really do love the NASB. Who reads NASB here? My people, love you. ESV is good too. We like ESV. This is what Mark 10:46 says. This is the story of Bartimaeus. It says this. Then they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho, I want you to underline leaving Jericho in your Bible. As he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. And when Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more. Oh, I love this. "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, stand up. He is calling you." And throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. Come on, isn't that so amazing? It's such an incredible story about this blind beggar named Bartimaeus. And what I feel is so incredible about this story is when you read Scripture, there is nothing in Scripture that's by accident. Do you know that? God always puts clues in Scripture to teach us something significant. And I believe even after today, some of you guys are going to read the Bible differently after today. But what I love so much is this story starts off with Bartimaeus at the gate of Jericho. And it says that as Jesus was leaving Jericho, there was a blind beggar named Bartimaeus sitting and begging at the gate. Can you guys see me well if I'm down here? Yeah? He's begging at the gate of Jericho. How many know that at that same gate in Jericho, 1,000 years before, I don't know exactly the time, but there was a shout in Joshua chapter 6 that made the walls of Jericho fall? How many know that there was a shout and a trumpet blast that made the walls of Jericho fall down because a people believed God enough that they could take a city? So you have to see the context here. Maybe 1,000 years in the future, we've got a blind beggar, maybe the same location where they blew the trumpet, and he's begging blind. His name actually means son of honor, but now he's living a life of shame. He's a beggar, and he's there on the roadside begging, where once there was breakthrough, he's not experiencing breakthrough until, come on, somebody, he hears this procession almost, boom, boom, and these chants, all of this noise, and he probably, I think about the story, I love to like put myself in the Scripture story, you know, I can imagine maybe he's next to another beggar friend, maybe he's next to another cripple, and he nudges the cripple who can see, and he goes, "Hey, what's that noise? Why is there so many people leaving Jericho right now?" And this cripple turns to Bartimaeus and he says, "Oh, you haven't heard? Jesus of Nazareth is coming by. Jesus of Nazareth. Have you heard about Jesus of Nazareth? The guy who can raise the dead, open up blind eyes?" And in a moment, the stories that blind Bartimaeus has heard about the Nazarene starts coming into his heart. "Oh, yeah. I remember the time I heard how he opened up someone's blind eyes by spitting into mud and wiping it on his eyes. I know the story where he raised Lazarus from the dead." And Bartimaeus starts recalling all of these stories into his heart. And what fills Bartimaeus' heart? Hope. Someone say hope. Hope starts to fill his heart because the healer is walking by. The healer is passing by. And Bartimaeus, who is the son of honor, who's been begging in shame. Do you know that beggars back in the day, that the government would actually give them a coat that symbolized that they were a blind beggar? So he's sitting down and he's wearing this begging coat. He's asking people for money. And as Jesus is walking by, his beggars aren't crying out next to him, but he begins to cry out. And let me just read this again. When he heard, come on, how many know that faith doesn't come by seeing, it comes by hearing. He's blind, but faith is in his heart because he's heard what Jesus can do. Come on, does anybody have faith today about what Jesus can do? He's heard the stories of what Jesus can do, that it was Jesus the Nazarene, and he begins to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I think what's so incredible is that Bartimaeus calls Jesus by Jesus's prophetic name. He's a Jew sitting on the road, a blind Jewish boy sitting on the road. He calls Jesus out by Son of David, which means this: I believe, and he's saying it in front of all of the crowd and all of his friends, that you are the one that the prophets have prophesied about. I believe just by the story, it makes me feel emotional. Just by the stories I've heard, that you're the one that the prophets foretold. You're the Messiah. You're the Savior. You're the Deliverer. I believe that's who you are, Son of David. So he cries out, Son of David. And you can almost imagine in this moment, it says the people around him are sternly telling him to shut up. He says, Son of David. And they're like, shh, come on, Bart. Shut up. Who cares about you? You're just a blind beggar. That's all you'll ever be. You're just a blind beggar. You're just going to beg all your life. This is your lot in life. Why are you trying to bother Jesus? Some of you feel that way today. Some of you carry so much shame that there's the lie in your head that says, why would you even bother Jesus? Well, let me tell you something. Jesus wants to be bothered by you. Jesus wants to be bothered by you. He wants you to call out to him today. And I think what's so incredible that we see in Scripture is all throughout Scripture, not just Bartimaeus' story, but all throughout Scripture, we see this, that Jesus attracted crowds, but there was always one person's faith that attracted Jesus. Let me say that again. Jesus always attracted a crowd. He always had followers, but one person's faith always attracted Jesus. And in this moment, it's Bartimaeus. And he, you know, they're telling him to stop. I can imagine maybe they even put their hand on his mouth. And then all of a sudden, he cries out all the more, the Bible says. No, 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 no. Don't tell me to shut up. Jesus! They're like trying to pin him down. He's like, nah, you know, I'm going to get his attention today. Jesus, Son of David, I'm not going to let the crowd silence my voice. I'm not going to let government silence my voice. I'm not going to let culture silence my voice. I am going to cry out to Jesus today. I've been broken. I've been blind. I've been bound for too long. The healer is walking by. I'm not going to keep sitting here being a beggar when I remember what happened in Jericho. If people could shout and make walls fall, my shout can make Jesus stop. Ah, and that's exactly what happened. He was like, man, if they had 7 days around Jericho, I at least got two shouts in me. And he shouts again all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Come on, is there a cry inside of you that would make Jesus stop today? I don't ever want Jesus to pass by and me to miss him. There's got to be a cry inside of a people today, inside of this church today, that says, I'm done being tamed by religion. I'm done letting what people think of me in the fear of man hold back my passion for Jesus. I'm done letting structure and complicated things and all of the things I've heard in the news keep me from going wild about my Jesus. Come on, if he truly is who he says he is, we ought to shout. We ought to get excited about who he is, that he truly is the Son of David. No, I'm not going to let culture, the crowd, and the fear of man, the cares of this life, keep me from crying out to the Son of God. I refuse to let culture tame me. I refuse to put a basket over my lamp and not let the world watch me burn for Jesus. I refuse to let the fear of man, my shame, and my past mistakes keep me from crying out today. Come on, don't let a spirit of fear and timidity keep you from just going wild today about Jesus. I believe today that the same thing that happened to Bartimaeus can happen to you. He's looking for people who are desperate enough to actually go wild for him. Amen? So I want to turn kind of the page of this. We're going to go to Romans chapter 8. Are you guys still with me? We're going to go to Romans chapter 8. If you were at the School of Ministry this week, where is the School of Ministry students at? Come on, make some noise, School of Ministry. We had so much fun this week. They know I taught out of Romans 8 quite a bit. But I want to read something I didn't read this week. And this is Romans 8, 18 through 24. 18 through 24. And this is what it says. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Anybody been suffering? Anybody experienced maybe some heaviness? Let me read this again. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. We're going to keep reading and I'll break this down. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. Say until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as the sons of the redemption of our body, for in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. What is Paul talking about here? He's talking about in a time of suffering, in a time of pain, there's always a groan. There's always a longing. There's always a groaning. I talked about this week, but I got to go to the Asbury Revival. Anybody watch those clips of what happened at that college? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about so I can see who knows what I'm talking about. But I got to go to this outpouring at this university in Kentucky. And when I was there, I was so shocked to see all of these college students waiting for hours in line just to go inside of this chapel. When I went there, you guys, I flew in, I think it was going for 2 weeks. It was nonstop worship and prayer for weeks. And I go 2 weeks into this outpouring, and there were 40,000 people there trying to get into a 15,000 person chapel. 40,000 people. And I just went, before we went into the chapel, I went to this line of people. And the first person in line was a girl who flew all the way from Cambodia. I looked to the next person in line, a family from Brazil. Next person in line, I just kept going down. The nations were coming to a college chapel. 40,000 people just trying to come in. for an hour, 2 hours. I don't know how long some of these people stayed. The people that I was next to were Brazilians, because I knew, because they brought their Brazilian flag. Brazilians are wild. They're crazy. They got so much passion. But I'm there, and I felt this in my spirit, that this move of God that happened in this university is a seed for what God wants to do in the earth next. God is waking up the body of Christ to hunger after Jesus again. Not to hunger after performance or professional Christianity. Come on, gone are the days of professional Christianity. But to hunger after the person of Jesus himself. To actually get their passion back. And I believe in this room, I don't even know how much longer I'm even going to preach, but I believe in this room, some of you have been feeling this longing. Almost like you miss the Lord. It's almost like in your time or when you come to church, you're just like, oh, I have this ache, I have this groaning, I have this longing. That's biblical. Because we're in a time where people are suffering and God is waking up the church again to be the church. He's waking up the church again to not let the crowd dictate your cry. He's waking up Bartimaeus. He's waking up the son of honor who will cry out in the midst of a crowd that just wants to be around Jesus but not encounter him. Do you know that you can be around Jesus but never touch Jesus? Do you guys remember the story of the woman with the issue of blood? Are you guys okay? Do you remember the story of the woman with the issue of blood? This is a crazy story because it very much depicts what I just said. They're walking, the disciples are with Jesus, and if you've ever watched The Chosen, any Chosen people in here, you remember this scene. The crowd is pressing around Jesus, and people are touching Jesus everywhere. Probably just to like, I wonder what he smells like. Doesn't smell like the Son of God to me, okay? You know, they're just trying to press in around Jesus, but out of everyone who pressed in, the Bible says only one touched him. Touched him deeply. So the crowd's pressing in around Jesus. Jesus stops again, just like Jesus stops in Mark chapter 10. It says, Jesus stops, turns and says, who touched me? Peter looks at him. Peter's always the guy who does this, by the way. Peter's the guy who knows best. He's like, come on, Jesus. I failed rabbi school and I'm a fisherman, but let me tell you what actually is happening here, Jesus. He was like, what are you talking about? Someone touched you. Everybody's touching you, Jesus. Everybody's touching you. And Jesus goes like, no, Peter. Someone touched me. I felt power come out of me. Because there is a faith that when you attach it to Jesus, it pulls something from him that others can't pull. So many people get around the things of God and they think they're burning, but they're not. You're just around a bonfire. Can I just go there? You could be in this church, and I'm just going to say this because I feel it in my heart, and think you're saved because you hang around believers. But do you even remember the time where you got born again? If you can't recall the time where you got born again, I wonder if you are. And that's a hard statement to say, but I feel it in this room. If you can't recall the joy of your salvation coming to you, are you saved? You've got to answer that today. Because Jesus is coming for a bride who has all. Come on, Hudson Taylor said this. If Jesus is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And I am not here to play games anymore with God. I'm saying, Jesus, I want to surrender my whole life to you. I'm not going to live this game where I'm one foot in and one foot out anymore. No, I have got to surrender my whole life. I'm going to take note of Bartimaeus. I'm going to take note of the woman with the issue of blood. And I'm going to be the one today, if you're not, I am, to pull on the edge of his garment. I'm going to be the one who presses through the crowd to touch him. Come on, are you following me today? This is our Jesus. One touch can change your life. One moment can change your life. But that longing and that cry has got to get louder than the crowd. It's got to get louder than the people who are saying, you know what, Margaret, just be quiet about your faith. You know, we all got those friends in our life. They're just kind of like, you know what, I'm done talking. You're a barista. You talk to me about Jesus every week, Marge. I'm done with it. Why don't you just settle down? Why don't you just settle down in your faith? You're a little bit too extra, a little bit too charismatic, a little bit too supernatural, a little bit too righteous, a little bit too holy. That's what the world needs. Don't let what your neighbor thinks about you keep you from going wild today. Don't let your barista or your chiropractor, come on, maybe he'll watch this someday. I have a chiropractor that I go to who doesn't know Jesus. But I love going to him because as he's cracking my back, I'm praying for him. And when I go to his office, he's actually becoming one of my best friends. Jesus was a friend of sinners. Did you know that? I don't just hang around Christians. I want my faith to rub off on the world. And I go into his office. He's got sage going off. And some people get afraid of that stuff. They're like, that's a demon. You're going to go in there and you're going to get a demon. I'm like, no, greater is he in me than anything that's in the world. I'm not going to get a demon. When was darkness more powerful than the blood? Why are we so afraid of that stuff? I'm not afraid of that stuff. I've got a big Jesus in me. I've got a great big Jesus. So I walk in there. He's got a picture of Buddha. The other day it was so funny. He's got a picture of Jesus and Buddha. We go in there. It's really wild. I'm like, what do you believe, bro? He's like, I got Jesus, Buddha. I got some Hindu gods over there. Literally the other day, Cruz, my son, got adjusted by him. And we're in there and we leave. We both get adjusted. And Cruz has this little Hindu elephant in his hand. And he's walking out. It's literally an idol. He's got it in his hand. Walking out, and I'm like, buddy, what are you doing with that? Let's just go back and bring that to Dr. Chris right now, okay? And we go in, and we give it to him. We're like, we think that this is yours. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's mine. Takes it. And guess what? We're not afraid of that. Because how many know that when we touch it, God can turn something that's cursed, and he can make it blessed. He can actually shift it. And when we go in there, I know that when he touches me, something's rubbing off on him. Because we're becoming best friends. The other week, he's like, dude, you can come and join me in the sauna anytime. You want an ice bath with me? Let's do it anytime. You're my buddy. You're my friend. Because we are called to be a light to a world that doesn't know light. We're called to do it. But for some of us in here, and Jared, you can come up whenever you want. But when some of us in worship team, if you want, but there's some of us in here, we are letting people's opinions, the fear of man, maybe what someone said about you, maybe a habit in your life, put a basket on your lamp. And some of us in here as well, I feel this so strongly, we're carrying so much shame that we're afraid to cry out because we wonder if Jesus will actually hear us. Some of you in here, you're still coming to church and you have an addiction to cigarettes. Today's your day of deliverance. And Jesus is not ashamed of you. Jesus actually loves you, and he loves you so much that he loves you enough not to keep you that way. And all you have to do is come to him. All you have to do is let the longing that you have in your heart for him cry out. Come on, say cry out. We're going to go back to the story of Bartimaeus, and we're going to read how this unfolds again at the end. I want you guys just to see this. It's such a powerful story. Verse 48. Many were sternly telling him to be quiet. But he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Come on, Jesus is going to have mercy on some people in this place today. Some of you who do not know him, you're not saved, you don't know him, today is the day of salvation. He wants to forgive and remove your guilt and your sin. Have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped. If you've got your Bible, again, underline that and said, call him here. Call him to me. In the book of James, it says, draw near to the Lord and he will draw near to you. So they called the blind man, saying to him, take courage, stand up. Isn't it crazy that the people who told him to shut up are now the people telling him to take courage? Some of your enemies, some of the people who thought you were weird are going to be the people who say, stand up and take courage. I believe that your breakthrough today is going to be the breakthrough of the people around you. Amen. They say, take courage. They go from telling him to shut up to take courage, stand up. He's calling you. And I love this part. Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. What's that mean? Imagine it again with me. Bartimaeus is sitting down. They say, take courage. He stands up. And he himself, this blind beggar, starts to take off his coat. He throws it to the ground. Why? Because the coat he was wearing was an old identity. It was the coat that the government put on him to beg. And he knew, if the master's calling me, I'm a blind beggar no more. Even before he received his sight, he knew, gone are the days of me wearing this jacket. I'm getting a new jacket today. I'm getting a new mantle today. I'm getting a new identity today. And some of you in this room, you're wearing old clothes that Jesus says, throw it aside. I'm calling you. Throw it aside. I've got something new for you. Throw it aside and cry out. And I believe today that at this altar, there's going to be some old clothes that are going to get burnt up in fire. Amen. There's going to be some old garments of shame. There's going to be old garments of addiction. There's going to be old garments of unforgiveness in your life, burnt up at the altar. And Jesus has got a new word for you today. Amen. So he throws off his cloak. Came to Jesus, answering him, and Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus is asking you the same question today. What do you want me to do for you? Today is a day of miracles. I want all of you to stand up in this room. Just stand up all across this place. I want you just to close your eyes. I don't want you to worry about the person on your right or on your left. And I want you just to hear Jesus say to you, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? How do you want me to meet you today? And I believe that there is a cry in your heart that's going to go forth to the Father. And I want you just to take a moment. Holy Spirit, all across this place, would you speak to every heart? Would you move on every heart? And Father, I thank you today that just like Bartimaeus, a cry is going to come out of this room that is going to shake the valley and change families in this place. Holy Spirit, I thank you that some people in this room are wearing old identities and old cloaks, but after today, they're going to be wearing new garments today. Robes of righteousness, washed white. You're going to heal the blind. You're going to open up blind eyes for people who couldn't see. And I thank you for the gift of hunger that's going to come on a group of people today. Come on, if you've lost your passion, today is a day for fresh passion. If you have felt tamed by fear, tamed by lies and accusation, today is the day to throw it off and go crazy for Jesus. And so I'm not going to even try and hype it up. I'm not going to force it. But you know, you can feel what I was talking about in Romans 8. If you feel that stirring, and you feel that longing inside of you, that thing in you that's like, I am so hungry. I just want a touch from him. I want to cry out like Bartimaeus, but I felt things holding me down. I want you just to come up to the altar right now. When you're ready, I just want you to find your way up here because Jesus is going to do a new thing in your life today. Even if you're here and you're like, man, no, I feel passion, but the Lord wants to give you some more. He wants to give you something fresh today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you need to get on your knees, whatever you feel like the Lord's asking you to do in this moment, I just want you to be obedient. Just be obedient. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, if you feel that tug, I want you just to respond. I want you just to respond. If you feel that tug in your heart today, just respond. God is releasing in this place the gift of intercession. He's releasing in this place a cry. He's releasing in this place that groaning and that longing. And as you come up, if you can, just come up closer. Come closer to this altar. Come closer to make space for people as they come. But what's about to happen in this room is there's a cry that's about to come out of this room. What's about to happen in this room is there's a shout, there's a cry. And I want you, if you're up here, if you're out there in your seat, I want you just to begin to call on the Lord. Don't wait for someone to lay hands on you. This is a moment between you and God, and I want you to call on the Lord. Let that deep longing inside of you just begin to come out. Just begin to call on him. Just begin to call on him. This is a holy moment. Yeah. Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on, I want you to press into him, church. I want you just to press in. Come on, just begin to lift up your voice. This is not a moment for a tame prayer. This is a moment for you to press in like Bartimaeus and to call on the name of the Lord. It's begin to cry out.
Oh, we need you, Jesus. Oh, we need you, Lord. Son of David.